ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 7th चैप्टर 8 चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड द लॉर्ड स्लेज द किंग ऑफ द डीमंस। टेक्स्ट नंबर 2। अथ अथाचार्य सुतस्तेषां बुद्धिम् एकांत संस्थिताम् आलक्ष्य भीतस्त्वरितो राज्ञा आवेदयत् यथा। ट्रांसलेशन पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन व्हेन शंड एंड अमरक द सन्स ऑफ शुक्राचार्य ऑब्जर्व्ड दैट ऑल द स्टूडेंट्स द सन्स ऑफ द डीमंस were becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness because of the association of Prahlad Maharaj, they were afraid. They approached the king of the demons and described the situation as it was. Purport. The words buddhim ekant samsthitam indicate that as an effect of Prahlad Maharaj's preaching, the students who listened to him became fixed in the conclusion that Krishna consciousness is the only object of human life. The fact is that anyone who associates with a pure devotee and follows his instructions becomes fixed in Krishna consciousness and is not disturbed by materialistic consciousness. The teachers particularly observed this in their students, and therefore they were afraid, because the whole community of students was gradually becoming Krishna conscious. Translation once again. When Shanda and Amarka, the sons of Shukracharya, observed that all the students, the sons of the demons, were becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness because of the association of Prahlad Maharaj, they were afraid. They approached the king of the demons and described the situation as it was. Hare Krishna. When I was reading this verse, I was remembering the typical example of day-to-day life which a preacher faces in his preaching and endeavors. It's very typical. Like Prahlad Maharaj is here trying to preach and then facing so much of opposition. Initially, when Prahlad Maharaj was trying to do some college preaching, or we can say value education program in his school, so students were not interested actually. The students wanted to play and they had their own agendas. So Prahlad Maharaj had to convince them initially the need for Krishna consciousness. Similarly, when a preacher goes for preaching, this is the first opposition, that the audience or rather the people are not interested in Krishna consciousness. It's so difficult initially to build up a program. No one comes, and then the preacher has to go continuously and try to convince them some way or other, maybe through philosophy or maximum through prasad, whatever. Just catch their attention and get them to program. And after a considerable amount of time, when somehow people are coming and now they are developing some faith in Krishna consciousness, then the next opposition comes, that either the authorities in the college, or maybe if it's a preaching program in the congregation, the neighbors, the program is in the house, or maybe the government authorities, then they stage opposition to the preaching program. And this is how Prahlad Maharaj is now on the second step, where he is now getting opposition from his teachers. And the teachers are going to approach the board of trustee, rather Hiranyakashipu, to stop this preaching program altogether. So a very nice theme is building up here of opposition to Krishna conscious activity or establishing of Krishna consciousness. So we'll take this theme today and discuss. First of all, I'd like to present a very wonderful story. We'll discuss a story from the Krishna book, and later I'll tell you why we discuss this story. So this is from the 58th chapter of the Krishna book. The chapter is entitled Deliverance of the Demon Bhomasur. So this chapter comes exactly after Lord Krishna has married 8 queens, beginning from Rukmini Devi, Satyabhama, Jambavati, and so on and so forth. And Lord Krishna is in his Dwarka palace, and Lord Krishna is happily married with his 8 queens. And exactly at that time, Indradev enters the palace of Dwarka, and he is in difficulty, and therefore he has approached Krishna, and immediately narrates his woes in terms of the opposition he is facing, and all the demigods are facing from this great demon Bhomasura. In fact, Shukdev Goswami is telling to Parikshit Maharaj that Bhomasur was not just a great demon, but he had troubled the demigods a lot. In fact, Bhomasur had gone and he had taken very valuable items from the demigods, which were kind of the sign of their aristocracy. So it was mentioned here that Bhomasur, having been very powerful, took by force the umbrella from the throne of demigod Varuna. Now, usually if it was a very ordinary umbrella, no one would have minded so much. No? I mean, rainy season is going on. If you lose an umbrella, you buy another umbrella. But Varuna's umbrella is not an ordinary umbrella. It is well known, famous. Sometimes something is very famous, then you become very much disturbed when you lose something that, even if it's not so much of market value, but the fame attached to having possessed that article is so much that when you lose it, you become very much disturbed. So Varuna got disturbed because the umbrella from his throne was taken away by Bhomasur. Now, can you imagine the value of umbrella? Bhomasur is coming to Varuna Dev's kingdom, and of all things, he's taking the umbrella. That means the umbrella was very much precious. So the umbrella was taken from Varuna Dev, and next, Bhomasur goes to the palace of Indra, and he goes to Indra's mother, Aditi, and takes Indra's mother's, Aditi's, earrings. That is another precious thing, well known in Swargaloka. So Indra is coming and reporting that, you know, what happened? Bhomasur has taken the umbrella and taken the earrings. And then not only that, Bhomasur has captured a very important portion on the heavenly Mount Meru, the portion of Mani Parvat, and he has made his kingdom there. So he approaches Krishna that, please, we want the umbrella back, we want the earrings back, and we want the Mani Parvat back. So Krishna, very much consoles Indradev and tells him, go back, I'll do the needful. So immediately Krishna along with, now he has 8 wives, he chooses Satyabhama. There is a reason for choosing Satyabhama now. I'll tell you later why Satyabhama was chosen. Krishna takes Satyabhama on the back of his Garuda carrier, and immediately he starts moving towards Mani Parvat. And especially the capital city of Bhomasur is called as Prag Jyotishpur. Srila Prabhupada explains very beautifully what is this, what was this kingdom of Bhomasur all about. Prabhupada mentions that this kingdom of Bhomasur was very well fortified. The first opposition which an intruder might face when he tries to enter the kingdom of Bhomasur is that from all 4 sides, there are great forts, formidable forts. And we know forts are not easily conquered. Like in the history of Indian, Indian history, or rather even in Maharashtra history, we can find that so many great rulers had their own forts, somewhere in the mountains, somewhere in between the sea. And it was very difficult to capture any fort in any direction. So therefore, the first formidable thing, opposition to Lord Krishna, was that there were 4 forts on 4 sides, and they were all fortified with amazing military strength. The next opposition, Srila Prabhupada mentions that this kingdom was protected by water canal from all around the city. And then the next was there were electric wirings. Electricity was we know was recently discovered, maybe a century ago. But we here see that Bhaumasura was having electric wires in his kingdom that time. From all sides, it was fenced by electric wires. The next fortification, Srila Prabhupada says, was of anila, a gaseous substance. That means there was a gaseous chamber, or rather, not actually a chamber. The gas was permeating a particular area. I mean, the gas was chambered without a chamber. No one could see that there was a gas. If someone enters that area, he might be killed after inhaling those gas substances. So that anila gas was surrounding the whole area. And then after this, there was a network of barbed wiring, which was constructed by a demon whose name was Mura. And Srila Prabhupada says that it appears that the whole city was well protected, even in terms of today's scientific advancements. So Lord Krishna now is moving towards Prag Jyotishpur. For Lord Krishna to enter any place is not very difficult. So it is mentioned that Lord Krishna takes his club, and with his club, he breaks to pieces all the forts. And then with his arrows, he onslaughts the whole army, the military strength of Bhaumasura. Then he goes across the canal. For him, it's easy because he's flying. And the next is electric wiring. So Lord Krishna immediately summons Sudarshan Chakra and diffuses the whole electricity and contracts the boundary. And then he also makes null and void the gaseous substance called as anila. And then Krishna goes ahead, and then there is a barbed wiring. It is mentioned that Krishna immediately breaks open the barbed wirings, and then Krishna sounds his transcendental conch shell. When Krishna blows his conch shell, it is mentioned that the hearts of all the great fighters who were on the side of Bhaumasura, they got shattered. And not only that, Prabhupada says, even the fighting machines, they got invalid just by the blowing of conch shell. This is the power of sound, of Krishna's conch shell. When Krishna blows his conch shell, even machines also get incapacitated. That is the power of Lord Krishna. So when Krishna blows his conch shell, immediately the demon Mura, who is guarding the boundary, the barbed wiring, he is awakened from his sleep. And then he comes out. And the description of demon Mura is given in the Krishna book as very awesome, very amazing. This demon Mura has 5 heads. And because he is always in water, he has very ugly features. So demon Mura comes and is shocked to see that someone has even made attempt to cross all the boundaries, and now he is standing in front of him. So he becomes very angry. The Mura demon was as brilliant as the sun at a time of dissolution. And his temper was like blazing fire. The effulgence of his body was so dazzling that it was difficult to watch him even with open eyes. So it is mentioned that when he sees Krishna on the back of Garuda, immediately becomes angry and starts roaring like a lion. And this sound of Mura demon not only goes across the planet, this earth planet, but even goes across in the outer space, reaching the outskirts or the limits of the universal boundary. That is the power of his roaring voice like a lion. And immediately, a Mura demon decides to first attack Garuda. So he throws his trident on Garuda. But immediately Krishna cuts the trident into half by his feathered arrows. And then because the Mura demon is shouting so loudly, immediately Krishna sends 2 arrows and stops his shouting by crisscrossing his mouth. So now he cannot shout. Therefore he becomes angry now. Something has to be done. And immediately it is mentioned that he attacks Lord Krishna with his club. Immediately Krishna takes his club, strikes the club of Mura demon, and destroys the club. And now Mura becomes more angry, and then he attacks Krishna with his fist and his arms. But Krishna takes the opportunity now, because he has to go ahead, and takes his Sudarshan Chakra and beheads all the 5 heads of Mura are down on the ground. And in this way, this great demon Mura falls on the ground. Now Mura demon had 7 sons. They attack Krishna now. But Krishna very easily defeats them overpowers them. And now, Bhomasur, he becomes aware that someone has attacked his kingdom and Mura has been killed and even his sons have been killed. So immediately sends his army and he also attacks personally Lord Krishna. But Krishna very easily starts hithering and thithering all the army of Bhomasura. In fact, now Garuda also starts participating in the battle. It is mentioned that Garuda with his claws and with his beak was scratching the heads of the elephants. And they were moving hither and thither because of the pain. And that caused the whole army to run here and there, helter skelter. And only person remaining in the battlefield was Bhomasura. And he became then he throws a trident on Garuda. But Krishna immediately blows away the trident. And when then later Bhomasura hits a particular weapon whose name is Shata Agni. But immediately Krishna even counteracts this weapon of Shata Agni. So it is mentioned that now Bhomasura becomes very much puzzled and angry, so he decides to attack Krishna by force, by his own hands. But Krishna immediately beheads Bhomasura and kills him. So when Bhomasura is killed, immediately there is a big cry of disappointment among the demoniac rulers. But the demigods are very happy and they shower flowers upon Lord Krishna. So Lord Krishna is there. Immediately Bhumi Devi, who is the mother of Bhomasura, she comes. And she gives Krishna back the earrings of Aditi and the umbrella of Varuna. And also the son of Bhomasura, known as Bhagadatta, he also is brought in front of Lord Krishna. And Bhumi Devi, she prays to Lord Krishna that this son of Bhomasura has become very much distressed because of the killing of his father. Please give him shelter. So Krishna immediately crowns him as the king of the kingdom of Bhomasura. And Krishna immediately leaves this city of Bhomasura. So here is Krishna facing the opposition from his own son, Bhomasura. Now we should know, why was Krishna's son? Because it is mentioned that when Krishna, as Lord Varadev, was in battle with Hiranyaksha, that time Lord Vara had lifted Bhumi Devi, earth planet, by his tusk. And because of that contact of Lord Varadev, Bhumi Devi gave birth to a child, and that was Bhoma, son of Bhumi. Now, as Prahlad Maharaj is converting demons into devotees, now this person was a devotee because he was born from Bhumi Devi, but was converted into demon because of the association of demonic rulers. And he later became himself was a great demon and started opposing the devotee demigods who were ruling on behalf of Lord Krishna. So it is mentioned that Krishna now immediately leaves this planet and goes to Swargaloka. And he goes and gives back the earrings of Aditi and Varuna's umbrella. And Krishna is returning. When Krishna is returning, suddenly Satyabhama remembers Krishna's promise of giving her, or rather granting her one day, the Parijata tree. So Prabhupada recollects in the Krishna book that how once Narad Muni had come to Dwarka after visiting heavenly planets, and he had got a Parijata flower. This Parijata flower is so amazing that this Parijata flower never fades and always is very fragrant, even if it is plucked from the tree. So this Parijata flower was given as a gift to Rukmini Devi. And Satyabhama saw that Rukmini Devi has received a gift of Parijata flower which she didn't have. So she was very much feeling little inferiority complex, Prabhupada mentions. And she also wanted something. So Krishna promised that, why flower? I'll give you a tree. So Satyabhama had remembered this. So our acharyas mentioned that Satyabhama was taken on this journey by Lord Krishna for two reasons. One reason was Satyabhama is also that energy of Lord Krishna from whom the Bhumi Devi expands. That means Bhumi Devi is expansion of Satyabhama. And therefore now Lord Krishna is going to kill whom? Bhomasura, his own son. And therefore he felt that Satyabhama, the mother of Bhomasura, should also be there. So sanction is given by her. So there is no problem killing a son. That was the first reason. And second reason was because Krishna was going to heavenly planet. So Krishna also wanted to fulfill the promise of Satyabhama of getting her the Parijata tree. So immediately Satyabhama plucked the Parijata tree and Krishna was moving. Now Indra, when he came to know through his wives that Krishna's wife Satyabhama has plucked the Parijata tree from heaven. So all the wives of Indra had incited him that what is this? You know, this is only in heaven. Doesn't go in earth planet. And without your permission is taking. It's not good. So same Indra who has not just some time ago has approached Krishna for help to get back the earrings of his mother has completely forgotten the favor given by done by Lord Krishna. And now Indra with his all his demigods attack Lord Krishna. And Lord Krishna defeats this opposition from his very own devotee who has forgotten the purpose of his existence. And immediately defeats Indra and takes the Parijata tree. Now while narrating this story, I forgot one very important point. Is that when Krishna was in the Bhomasura's palace and he had defeated Bhomasura and he had enthroned Bhagadatta as the king, Krishna also released 16,100 princesses who were captive in the palace of Bhomasura. So when Krishna released them, it is mentioned that all these princesses, because they were young ladies, unmarried ladies, they approached Krishna and they said that you have released us, but where will we go? Because in the Vedic culture, when the Vedic culture was thriving so much, at that time any lady going out of house, even for a day, without someone, without permission of anyone, was considered a great stigma on the chastity of the lady. And here were the 16,100 young ladies had stayed out of their house being captive by Bhomasura. And Bhomasura was a crazy person kind of thing. He was just like someone interested in collecting of stamps and collecting of money. He was collecting young ladies in the prison house without any idea what to do about, just collect them. So Bhomasura had collected them and they were young virgins still. But they could not go back to their homes. Why? Because as per the Vedic society prevailing that time, they could not enter their homes because now they are staying away from the family for a long time. So they prayed to Krishna that you give us shelter. And internally in their heart, they were praying to have Krishna as their husband. So here in Krishna, he agrees the proposal. So we can see Krishna is actually giving shelter to people, those ladies who had no shelter outside. So Krishna is actually merciful in marrying 16,100 ladies. And he marries them gorgeously in Dwarka later. And Krishna doesn't mind the opposition he will face later in this age of Kali Yuga for having been married 16,108 queens. So we can see that we are discussing the idea of opposition in today's class. What is opposition? Opposition is in parampara in our line of disciplic succession. Prahlad Maharaj had opposition when he preached. In establishing Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada had opposition when he preached Krishna consciousness. Bhakti Siddhanta Sri Thakur had opposition when he preached Krishna consciousness. What to speak of them, the acharyas? Even Lord, when he came to establish religion, he had opposition. We saw the incident of Lord Krishna facing opposition. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself faced opposition when he was trying to establish the Yuga Dharma of this age. When he was in Navadvip, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he assumed the wonderful role of a devotee in the Leela and he started propagating the Harinam Sankirtan, the Sankirtan Yagya in Navadvip, then general mass of people were taking very seriously. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Gaurangadev, he faced opposition from the local Brahmanas, the caste Brahmanas. It is mentioned that the caste Brahmanas became so angry on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. And they had their own idea of what this, what religion should be. So they went to Chand Kazi, the Muslim magistrate of that area, and they complained on religious background that this person, Gauranga, he is actually going against religion. He is giving the holy name of Krishna, which is mentioned secretly in the Vedic literatures and is openly propagating these holy names and giving it to everyone. It is mentioned at that time the whole idea was the holy name can only be taken by Brahmanas, not by anyone. And that too, not all day. Because their idea was not to disturb Krishna by chanting his holy names. Their idea was only during bathing in Ganga, we should chant the holy names. And that was some fixed amount, a certain amount, certain names of Krishna. That's all. So this wrong conception was prevailing that time. So they went and complained that this fellow is going against Hindu religion. And to instigate further, they told that he is actually getting popular votes from general mass. And they urge Chand Kazi that if you don't do something, he might overthrow the government also. Chand Kazi became a little upset. So he decided now he will do something to oppose Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. And it mentioned that Chand Kazi went on a rampage. And he went to each house to stop the Sankirtan. Every house there was Sankirtan going on. So Chand Kazi along with his followers, they went and stopped Sankirtan in every house. And not only stopped, they warned that if anyone continues Sankirtan, they will be killed and their house will be robbed. In fact, to the point that he also reached Shivas Thakur's house and broke a mridanga there. So there was warning given to all devotees and he left that if found again, they will be persecuted. So all the devotees were upset and the news reached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told all the devotees, don't worry, go on, continue the kirtan, I'll take care of you. So the devotees went, but they were a little afraid still. Even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had given them full guarantee that he will protect them, but they were still afraid, they were still fearful. So they were doing kirtan, but you know, in a low tempo. Like sometimes you don't play mridanga or kartali or Hare Krishna, very slow kirtan. So they were not doing fully, vigorously as they would do kirtan initially. So when Mahaprabhu saw this, he thought that I should do something. So I was reading a particular passage of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is saying that Kamsa had heard the divine Akashvani from the sky that he was going to be killed by the eighth son of Devaki, that is Krishna. And your Vasudeva and Devaki had heard that. So they were knowing that Kamsa was going to be killed by Krishna. Yet, they were fearful. They were fearful that Kamsa might harm their child Krishna. So Prabhupada says, even in the same way, devotees might be fearful that the asuras might stop our Krishna consciousness. Just like Vasudeva and Devaki were fearful that Kamsa might affect or rather might harm Krishna. But Vasudev, even though he was fearful, but he was fully convinced. Similarly, devotee should also be convinced that even though Asura might stop, but Asura will not be able to check our Krishna conscious propaganda. And it's, Prabhupada said, we have seen that many times we had opposition, but in due course of time, Krishna consciousness always had always came victorious. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided that he will personally go and stop the activities of Kaji. So he told all the devotees and told everyone to join together our hands and come in the evening and perform a mass Sankirtan rally to the house of Chand Kazi. Srila Prabhupada says that one should not be misinformed that the Indian struggle for freedom had the first civil disobedience movement. No. 500 years ago, the first civil disobedience movement, the non-cooperation movement was done by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Non-violent civil disobedience women. They're marching on the house of Chand Kazi, taking Sankirtan with torches in their hands. And then we see the pastime goes on and Chand Kazi becomes so afraid he doesn't come out of the house. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself approaches Chand Kazi. And there's a dialogue which ensues between Chand Kazi and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu convinces Chand Kazi to give up his demonic activities. And Chand Kazi gives a promise that not only me, even my descendants later to come will never oppose your Sankirtan movement. And that is how even today that even in the area of Navadvip, there are so many people who are following the same religion as Chand Kazi, they don't create any opposition because that verdict is given by Chand Kazi. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to also see opposition in his Navadvip. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because the opposition continued by the caste Brahmanas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas so that this caste Brahmanas and all those erudite scholars who were not taking shelter of Sankirtan movement, they will later, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken sannyas now, as a sannyasi, they will take shelter of him. So Mahaprabhu took sannyas and he decided to preach all over different regions. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has mentioned that wherever he went, he had to face different kinds of opposition. In fact, this famous incident comes. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Varanasi. And Mahaprabhu was propagating Krishna consciousness, and everyone taking, the whole mass of people in Varanasi were chanting along with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the great leader of Varanasi, the spiritual leader, Prakashananda Saraswati, he was kind of giving a strong opposition. And he was preaching against Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, openly saying that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a sentimental sannyasi. He is not interested in learning Vedanta. So when Mahaprabhu heard this, he was not happy that there was a propaganda against him as a being sentimental person. So they mentioned that in that visit of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Varanasi, Mahaprabhu lamented that I am carrying a huge load of gifts, that is Krishna Prem, to distribute to everyone, but I am not getting any customers. Mahaprabhu is complaining. I am not getting any customers. So I think so I have to go now, empty handed, with no customers for me. So apparently seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also had to fail in that instant when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not preach because of Prakashananda Saraswati's opposition. We knew that how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu faced opposition, but as Krishna promises that this movement of, or actually Prabhupada says that this Krishna conscious movement will never be opposed. For some time it might be checked, but always Krishna consciousness will come victorious. So Mahaprabhu goes to Vrindavan. And when he returns back from Vrindavan, back to Varanasi, at that time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because of the strong request of one of the devotees in Varanasi, Mahaprabhu decides to meet Prakashananda Saraswati and 50,000 disciples of his. And from there, Mahaprabhu, because of his humility, he wins over the heart of Prakashananda Saraswati. And Mahaprabhu doesn't use any violence there. So the Prabhupada says, Mahaprabhu always used the non-violence theme. Prabhupada says that while propagating Krishna consciousness, violence cannot be used always. Prabhupada said if we use violence always, then our Krishna consciousness centers will have problems in future. So therefore, non-violence is the only way. And what is the non-violence theme? Defeat. Don't kill the opponent. Kill the opponent's arguments by reasoning and logic. So Mahaprabhu here defeated Prakashananda Saraswati's logic and argument by his strong philosophy of Achinta Bhedabhi Tattva. And Prakashananda Saraswati became devotee, and along with him 50,000 disciples, Mayavadi sannyasis, became devotees. That was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching style. Preach the head and everyone becomes devotee altogether. So as we hear, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would preach to the class and Nityananda Prabhu would preach to the mass. So Mahaprabhu in this way also faced opposition. We see in Parampara, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also faced opposition in his preaching field, in his preaching organization. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he took his Vrindavan Parikrama, it is mentioned that when he went to Vrindavan local temples, all the head priests of the Vrindavan local temples closed their doors and did not allow Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to enter into the temples, because they all had agendas that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was giving initiation to even unqualified people. Their whole idea was that Brahmanism was based on birth, but Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would give Brahmanical initiation based on qualification, and they'd oppose this idea of Bhakti Siddhanta. In fact, during Vrindavan Parikrama, even some so-called Goswamis also stoned Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Parikrama. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had to face that opposition from his. In fact, when Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was in Jagannath Puri, living at the house, he had not taken sannyas that time, and he was living at the house of his father, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and he would every day have evening classes. And those classes were so popular because of the very clear and succinct Siddhanta, he would say, that many of the local Babajis would come and hear Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's discussion. And there was one famous local Babaji who was Sahajiya, whose name was Radharaman Babaji. He would come and hear Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's discussion. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his whole lecture, would not even see him once. He would address the whole audience, but not even, actually, he would purposely not see him, make him feel that actually he's been insulted. So this fellow went and he complained to Bhakti Vinod Thakur that, what is your son is not seeing me? So Bhakti Vinod Thakur said that, my son hates Sahajiyas, and therefore he is not seeing you. So he became so upset. He went out and started a propaganda against Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And there was a threat for Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Jagannath Puri. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur told him that now there is no time for him, you to come and preach here. You go to Navadvip and practice bhajan. Make yourself strong. And when time comes, you'll preach again Krishna consciousness. So Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur had to leave Jagannath Puri because of this threat from this particular local famous Babaji. And then he had to go to Navadvip. Srila Prabhupada, even before he started preaching, he went to West, there was opposition for him. What was the opposition? Prabhupada Lilamrita Chatura Maharaj said, the opposition was at Srila Prabhupada's own house. Prabhupada was trying his best to convince his wife to take up Krishna consciousness. At one point of time, he even told his wife that, why don't you take initiation from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur? And the wife said, I'm not interested. And she was actually, though not verbally fighting, but she was passively staging a war against Srila Prabhupada. When Prabhupada would arrange a program at his house, she along with all the kids would stay in the upstairs room and she would drink tea and she would not come for the programs. And then we know that how things went on, and Prabhupada had to face opposition from his own wife, and even the Bhagavatam was sold by her. It was too much. Sometimes, rather, Srila Prabhupada later went to America, and then another opposition. Initially, as Prahlad Maharaj had to face opposition from his schoolmates to preach Krishna consciousness, but later he convinced them to become devotees. But the authorities had a problem. Now here we can see that Shanda and Amarkar are afraid of the Krishna consciousness movement which is spreading in their demonic region. So Srila Prabhupada also faced so much opposition when he went all over the world. In the outside world, in the foreign world, his movement was called as a brainwashing movement. Why? Because they were seeing, everyone was seeing that this person, who was actually a materialistic person, they're entering Krishna consciousness movement and suddenly the whole lifestyle is changing. So they're thinking that something is going fishy here, you know. Suddenly the whole lifestyle of a person is changing after joining this movement. So they thought that this, maybe there's some hypnotism is going on, brainwashing is going on. But suddenly therefore everyone is shaving his head and wearing strange robes and doing strange things of dancing in the street and distributing books. It was very strange for people in America. So therefore, it was termed as a brainwashing movement. Srila Prabhupada had to not, and Srila Prabhupada, whenever he traveled anywhere, reporters would meet Srila Prabhupada. And one of the questions they would ask was, what do you think of this brainwashing allegation against you? So Prabhupada would tell that, actually, we are educating people and making them come out of their ignorance. They do not know that they are going to transmigrate in 84 lakh species of life. They are going to lose their human form of life. And you are telling them how to become devotees. But because they have their ignorance and because they have no brains, and we are giving them brains, and they are telling us we are brainwashing them. In fact, one Srila Prabhupada told that their brain is full of stool and urine and we are washing that brain. But they are complaining why you are washing our brains. That is brainwashing. So in abroad countries it was brainwashing, and in India, Srila Prabhupada's movement was called as the movement of CIA agents. So wherever Prabhupada went, he had strong opposition in his preaching. But Srila Prabhupada did not give up. Srila Prabhupada continued his preaching. The famous episode of Jugu Mumbai is one more case. Srila Prabhupada had so much opposition. Prabhupada continued. He did not give up. And therefore, Prabhupada was always victorious, because Prabhupada had complete faith that Krishna consciousness has to be victorious. Krishna will never be defeated. So Prabhupada once made a nice statement that opposition to Krishna consciousness indicates that our movement has purity and our movement has genuineness. That means if you are preaching, then you should expect opposition. And when opposition comes, it should confirm that we are going in the right direction. That is the whole idea. If purity is there, if genuineness is there, opposition will be there. So there are many places Srila Prabhupada has given explanation for certain opposition devotees face in their Krishna consciousness. One such particular point which Srila Prabhupada said hit me very much. Very beautiful point. We'll speak this point, we'll end here then. Prabhupada says that we should know that the whole world is nothing but struggle for existence. That is the characteristics of this world. Struggle for existence. Then Prabhupada said, I am sitting here, and this fly is coming and disturbing me. I am not doing anything to this house fly. this fly is coming and harming me and trying to disturb me. This is the material world. Even if you don't want, people will disturb you. And Prabhupada said, people go on the street and the dogs are barking on them. They are not doing anything to the dogs. But the dog thinks that they are intruders and they are barking. So padam padam, yadvipadam. Everyone in this world is facing struggle for existence. That is the nature of the world. So why should we worry when we are facing struggle? It is part of this material world. Prabhupada says, many times I went on airplanes and then I was not even allowed to get down from the plane because they detected a threat from me and I was told to go back from the plane. So this is happening. Why? Because it is struggle for existence. This material world means struggle for existence. So therefore, as devotees, Prabhupada said, we should know and therefore we should take shelter of Krishna. This will continue. In fact, Prabhupada says, if someone questions, why so many impediments? Why so many impediments in Krishna consciousness? Why so many problems in our life? If that question comes, that is human life, Prabhupada says. It's like Sanatana Goswami question, Ke ami, ke ne more, jare tapatra. He's questioning Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, who am I and why these threefold miseries are troubling me? Srila Prabhupada says, when someone questions like this to Krishna and takes shelter of Krishna, that is the purpose of human life. So opposition helps a devotee to take shelter of Krishna and become more closer to Krishna and understand that actually opposition is part of Krishna conscious propagation. Hare Krishna. Any comments? Since there is no time, we'll not ask for questions. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Tai Gaur Premanand.